Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Does that mean that those who are not merciful won't receive mercy? Is this a precondition? You can certainly find texts elsewhere in the Bible that would support that interpretation. I mean, in the very next chapter, not too much farther along in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. Now, mercy and forgiveness aren't the same thing, but obviously they're closely related. Is Jesus saying that we have to earn mercy? No, clearly that is not the point. You know, for one thing, if you've been here over the course of this series, you remember what we've talked about before, that these are descriptions, not commands, that we need to be careful not to read them as commands. And for another, we need to remember the context, remember the first beatitude, which sets the stage for the rest of them, from which the rest flow, where Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know they have no riches of themselves, that everything they have is of God and from God. The descriptions we see in the Beatitudes are not describing things that we are able to achieve. These aren't things that we are able to make happen, but of the character that God is forming in us by His Holy Spirit. And third, by definition, mercy can't be earned. If it were earned, it would not be mercy. We cannot read this as law. So to understand what Jesus is saying here, we need to begin by noting that, as we said last week, Jesus does not here say, blessed are those who perform certain actions. He doesn't say, blessed are those who show mercy, but blessed are the merciful. Which might seem like a small difference. You know, certainly my mother used to accuse me of being able to split a hair into 20 even pieces, and you might at first think that that's what I'm on about again, but no, this is a very significant difference. It's critical. It's the difference between outward action and the attitude of the heart. It is the nub of the difference between law and grace. Because if the blessing is on those who do specific things, then the blessing is contingent. You're only blessed as long as you keep it up. And in a sense, it's not truly a blessing, it's more like a wage. And as long as you keep doing what you're supposed to do, you'll keep getting what you're supposed to get. But if once you fail to show mercy, then you lose the mercy of God, at least until you correct your error. And of course, this sort of thing is why we get into all the arguments about, well, how far do we have to go? You know, Jesus, later on dealing with Peter, as Peter says, how often do I have to forgive my brother? 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times 7, which is to say, until you lose count, and then keep going. And how much is enough? How much qualifies? And we get into drawing lines and parsing it all out and figuring out how where we can stop. Which, that's Pharisees. That's not gospel. And more basically, the blessings of God are not contingent. They are absolute. This is important. Yes, God makes it very clear that His blessings are conditional, that they are for those who seek Him, who obey Him, who are faithful to Him, that He will not bless those who defy Him and rebel against His word. But for all that, they're not contingent on us. They're not dependent on chance. God doesn't just sort of cast a blessing out there and say, well, okay, if you can get under it, it's yours. His blessings are absolute. They are certain. God pronounces what He has already done. If God says it will be, it has already happened. We just haven't gotten there yet. And that is how it is with the blessings that he gives and the blessings that he pronounces. Yeah, and we should also here notice, there's a bit of a nuance in our English translations. And I don't know if you caught this, I don't know if this stuck with you, but it doesn't say, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Now, you could translate it either way. Either is possible from the Greek. This is a translation decision, but I think it's a very wise one. I think it's a very wise one. Because just because you show someone mercy does not necessarily mean they're going to receive it. And if you stop and think about all the things that you've seen in life, you can probably realize that, in fact, people very often don't. Sometimes it's out of pride. They're too proud to admit that they need it or to humble themselves enough to accept it. Sometimes it's fear. They don't believe that real mercy exists. They figure you're just trying to plant a hook in their jaw. And that if they accept this, that you'll be coming along later to pull on the line. Sometimes it's specific mistrust of you. And maybe in other cases they would, but you know, they don't trust your sincerity. They figure you're up to something. And sometimes, the worst of all, it's out of the hardness of their hearts, out of their lack of mercy for others. If you're familiar with the story of Victor Hugo's Les Misérables, I actually thought about pulling something from the musical to illustrate this, but you know, I knew we'd be a little bit shorter on time than usual. But if you're familiar with the story, think of the suicide of Inspector Javert. You know, he has all the way through the story been pursuing the principal protagonist, Jean Valjean, and pursuing him mercilessly. You know, there is, you know, all the way through the resonance. You know, he is the man of justice. He is the man of law. And Valjean is the man whose life has been transformed by mercy shown to him. And it comes to the crux point where Valjean holds Javert's life in his hands and he shows him mercy and lets him go. He gives him life instead of death. But for Javert to accept that mercy, for him to receive it, would be to confess with his whole being that his entire life up to that point had been wrong. He is at that point, one way or another, a dead man. If he accepts the gift of life from Valjean, he must die to himself. Who he has been, all of his pride and all of his dedication must die. Paul would say he must be crucified with Christ and die to self. And he couldn't do it. He found it preferable instead to reject the mercy that had spared his life and take his life himself. When we harden our hearts against mercy for others, we harden our hearts against mercy for ourselves. And if you've ever been in a position where you're bitter and holding a grudge, refusing to forgive, at some level you've known that in your own soul. It blocks us when we will not forgive. It blocks us from being able to ask forgiveness from the Lord or from anyone else in our lives. Blessed are the merciful. The point here, as is the point in all the Beatitudes, is blessed are those whose hearts are being changed by the power of God. And I like the way that the great British preacher D. Martin Lloyd-Jones put it. Our Lord is really saying that the one condition of forgiveness is repentance. Repentance means that I realize that I have no claim on God at all, and that it is only His grace and mercy that forgive. And it follows as the night the day that the man who truly realizes his position face to face with God and his relationship with God is the man who must of necessity be merciful to others. Because if we truly understand our need for Jesus and His grace, if we see ourselves in the light of His goodness and His holiness, if we hunger and thirst for His righteousness, if we understood that our greatest good is found in Him, not in the things of this world, won't that change how we see everyone around us? And in particular, won't that change how we see those who do wrong to us? As Dr. Lloyd-Jones goes on to say, have you not felt sorry for people who show from the expression on their faces the bitterness and the anger they feel? They are to be pitied. Look at the things about which they get angry, showing that their whole central spirit is wrong. So unlike Christ, so unlike God who has forgiven them everything, we should feel a great sorrow for them. We should be praying to God for them and asking Him to have mercy upon them. And He's not offering that as a command. That's not a statement of duty. It's an observation that the more we understand that we owe everything to God's mercy, the more we feel at the core of our hearts ourselves as debtors to God's grace, the more this will be our heart toward others. And the more we will see others in this way, the more we will look at those who are angry and bitter, at those who are cruel, at those who are selfish, and see them not as competitors, not as people to whom we need to respond in kind, not as people that we need to hurt before they can hurt us, but as people who are desperately in need of the grace and the goodness and the love of God, who are desperately in need of His mercy to heal them. And the more our hearts will be moved, not with a corresponding anger, but with compassion for those who are lost in the darkness like sheep without a shepherd. And along with this, the more we grow poor in spirit, the more we hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, the more we come to understand that our real treasure is something that they can't threaten. It's something that no earthly power, no human being can ever take away from us. And yes, we will, of course, come to this later on in the Sermon on the Mount. And thus, the less we see other people as threats to us, the less we feel the need to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves, because the more we understand that where it really matters, they don't have any power over us. The more we realize how blessed we are in Christ, and the more we realize the certainty of His blessings and the power of His work and His presence, the easier it is to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, not because being merciful is a precondition to receiving the mercy of God, but because the merciful are those who have already received the mercy of God and are being changed by it. Blessed are those who show the mercy they have been shown, who live out the mercy in which they live, in the confidence that to be merciful to others is to lose nothing, but to gain all. because the mercy of Christ is as certain as all his promises. And his mercy pays for all. Let's pray.